You know, I've never heard monster truck jams get so much publicity when people are trying to build a stadium. That's fine, but there's another stadium that's going to be competing for that stuff, Petco Park as well. So I think it's a first step, but there's many steps left in this journey.
Because you've got so many contacts around the National Football League, I mean, you're not just a typical guy that, you know, covers the NFL. You did it for a long time. You're very well thought of in the NFL among the NFL writers. And you talk to people in St. Louis. You talk to people in Oakland. I mean, give me your take on Stan Kroenke and Inglewood, because it sounds like they're looking to start putting a shovel in the dirt in December.
Yeah, I think of Stan. I think of two things, deep pockets and Walmart, you know, and he's got his $5 billion, and he married one of the Walmart gals, and she's got her $5 billion, and I guarantee you they don't shop at Walmart with $10 billion. So that's why Stan, you take him seriously, because he has the money, and more importantly, he has the team, and he's got a plot of land. And while they might say you need so many votes and all that, I don't think that'll stand up in court, and certainly Stan won't be intimidated by trying to move out here.
Well, the Rams, I mean, St. Louis in general, they're trying to do everything they can to keep the Rams.
And to show you the power of how, if governments are eager to give away money, he put out a press release about Inglewood. By the end of the week, he had $400 to $600 million in funds maybe going his way. I mean, he put out a press release. He didn't even put a shovel in the dirt. So I think he's coming out here, and I think he's coming fast, and it's really accelerated everything around here. Oakland, that's been a disaster up there since they moved back there. And I know Carson could be a bluff, but I'm not so sure. I know the Chargers would be the third guy in the fight, if you will, up there, but that's a big old market, and the NFL is good at marketing. So.
Well, here's the interesting topic on that. If Kroenke does start to build that stadium in December,
right.
Okay, the Raiders, their lease is going to be up in January of 2016. Get them through next year. And if they got to the playoffs, that's why it was through January, okay? that's probably not going to happen. But anyways, they start building that stadium in Inglewood in December. I can't imagine Carson building a stadium.
Yeah, but you got one or two stands. He doesn't need a co-tenant. I mean, he can run that baby and build a palace much like the 49ers did.
Yeah, but you're not going to have three teams in L.A.
No, you're probably not going to do that. But I'll see where Oakland ends up. But let's see if they make it down here or not.
They don't have the money to do it on their own, from what we understand.
And neither do the Chargers. That's why they're in partnership. And I think what's telling is, you know, Goldman Sachs has been getting as much recognition as Tom Brady these last couple of weeks, because they're fronting all these things. I keep waiting for that investor to come down here and say, hey, we'll front you that money. We'll do that. You know, why is it everywhere else it's being done without taxpayer support except in San Diego?
Well, maybe somebody from the city of San Diego needs to go out and recruit someone like that.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of Qualcomm buildings right around our building. It'd be nice to have a owner with deep pockets and could pull it off himself. But I don't blame the Spanoses and the NFL for ever asking. That's business, you know. But I would hope that the next time the city gets a little more lawyered up, because going back to the ticket guarantee, going back to this escape clause the Chargers have, that negotiating table has been pretty one-sided.
You've known Mark Fabiani for a long period of time, and I think, you know, away from the mic, away from the press, just shooting the bull, Fabiani's a good guy.
Yep.
And I think he is a good guy, but he's a lawyer. He's very well thought of by people that he works for. That's why he continues to get some of these big-time jobs around the entire country. I think in a lot of ways, even though he's irritated a lot of people and even guys that know him kind of shake their head, what's he doing? He really got a lot of people off their rear end down here in San Diego.
Yeah, he did. And something had to do, you know, 13, 14 years, it was a glacier-like movement. Stan Kroenke, he fired the first blow now. That really got people's attention. And then with the Carson announcement, everybody perked up on that one. But, you know, let's be clear here. Those strings of Mark are being pulled by the Spanos family. He never says anything that they don't want to be said. If I could circle back real quickly as well, you know, Dean Spanos has been Casper the Ghost in this. And at some point, you need the leader of the organization to come out and make a statement or say he appreciates the effort going into it. It just seems there's a big disconnect between the fans and the ownership of really of what's one of the jewels of San Diego, the San Diego Chargers.
Well, if they come up with a viable financial plan and they decide to build it at the Qualcomm site, then they'll probably show up at a press conference arm in arm and hugging one another.
Singing away. I'd like to see that. It's just curious. I think, too, it's just the contrast of how the Padres did it with Larry Lucchino and Morse to some effect. I mean, they were out in the community doing those.
Well, they also went to the World Series, too.
That's probably our next segment. But, you know, the free agency of the Chargers, I know they've made a couple, you know, signings, but my goodness, if you wanted to push all the chips on the table and get some excitement in this community, maybe go overpay for somebody that you wouldn't otherwise, because they got some holes in that thing. And if you're going to call Mike McCoy, Mike McThird after two third-place finishes, that's on you.
We're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Chargers and what they have not got done in free agency. We'll take a look at some of the other free agent moves this week, and we'll talk a little bit about our San Diego Padres. Coach John Quintero in studio here for the full half hour. Jay Paris, this is San Diego sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
Aztecs basketball on the Mighty 1090.
Slam dunk by Malik. How did he do that?
The Aztecs roll on in the Mountain West Conference Tournament against the Colorado State Rams. Tonight's at 8.
JJ headed everybody off the glass, got it, and he was fouled. Big-time sequence.
On the home of the Aztecs.
That's Aztec basketball right there.
San Diego's sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
Mighty 1090 time is 4:20. Coming up bottom of the hour, we're going to visit with Elliot Harrison, NFL Network analyst. Look forward to him. And at 5 o'clock, Scott Miller, National Baseball Writer, Bleacher Report, going to stop on by. We have a trade in the National Football League. The Miami Dolphins have traded Mike Wallace to the Minnesota Vikings for a fifth-round pick. And Jay Paris joining us this half hour in studio. What do you think about that deal, Mr. Paris?
That is one fast Ole Miss guy running down the field, I'll tell you that. Didn't quite work out like they thought in Miami. What surprises me is the amount of trades this offseason. You know, the NFL always used to play second fiddle to the hot stove league and baseball, but it's showing the aggressiveness of general managers, and I think maybe the A.J. Preller factor has leaked over to another sport. I just keep waiting for something to happen from the Chargers. And I know they got Flowers in Orlando, Franklin, and Jacoby Jones, which was a great, you know, good signing. And you got King Dunlap back. But, you know, Phillip Rivers is going to be 34 now when the playoffs start. So will Antonio Gates be 35. Weddle's, you know, past 30. Floyd will be 34. I mean, let's go. You know, it's fun to say we can build through the draft and all that, but when your core star players reach a certain age, you got to go for it. This is this year, and why not go for it this year when you're trying to drum up support in the community for a new stadium?
How much pressure do you think McCoy goes into the third season with?
He's definitely, you know, pressure is that, you know, Spanos has never want to pay a coach who's not around, so I'm not saying he's going to be fired or anything, but, you know, 9-7 is 9-7. And you got to take care of business in your front yard and your backyard, and they didn't do that last year. You lose 4 out of 6 in your division, you only do too much. And thank God for the Raiders, that's where those 2 wins came from. So if you're not winning in your division, that's where you got to start. And they got some work to do in two third-place finishes. I know they got that playoff win, but, you know, they've had 2 playoff wins since 2008. They've missed the playoffs 4 out of the last 5 years. So when people say, well, you can't sell PSLs down here, yeah, no kidding, because the product hasn't been worthy of maybe somebody wanting to put out some PSL money. So maybe that changes. But I was just hoping with all these wide receivers from Kenny Stills to Mike Wallace to all these guys changing teams and really changing the vibe in a clubhouse, still waiting for a big splash from the Chargers.
You know, I really don't know what their philosophy is on these wide receivers. I mean, right now, you know, Malcolm
Floyd's
had a great
Royal,
career.
Yeah.
And Eddie Royal, you know, was really a security blanket the last couple of years.
Especially when Woodhead went down last year.
Yeah, he went down, and Eddie did a great job, no question about it, especially early in the year. He had some dynamic games.
Right.
They need a guy that can get downfield. And I don't know if Malcolm Floyd can do that on a regular basis any longer.
Yeah, and Keenan's more of a possession guy, and he can play that slot. But, you know, if Floyd can do it, I mean, what's, you know, they can load up to make sure he doesn't do it. And, you know, Jones, I know he's definitely he's there for the return kicks and punts. You know, he's going to catch more than a handful of passes.
I mean, another guy that did good, but they didn't suit him up till late in the year was that kid they got out of the Canadian Football League, Dontrell Inman, but he's more of an underneath receiver as well.
Yeah, there's really not that speed burner. I mean, Jones can certainly do it, but it's tough to get him to do it on routes.
Okay, the offensive line is starting to shape up. You sign Orlando Franklin. You got Fluker. You got Chris Watt coming back. He'll be healthy. You got re-signed King Dunlap. I think Watt factors, for me at least, at left guard rather than at center. So I think they, in my opinion, they need a center, but they also need some depth.
Yeah, they need some depth, and boy, they learned that last year going through five starting centers. And Watt was a he was a guard at Notre Dame, and he seemed a little undersized there to be center. I mean, Nick Hardwick certainly got pad under pad for a lot of years being undersized. But I hear what you're saying there, but there's a few ifs in there now. Right guard, is Johnny Troutman going to be your guy if you leave Fluker out on the tackle? And Watt still has to earn his stripes. So he did okay while he was in there, but he's still a rookie in my book.
See, I'd factor in Watt at left guard.
Right.
I'd put the two big boys over on that right side. I mean, I'd load up on that right side with a Fluker. Whether they keep him at tackle or move him in, I think they probably ought to move him in. I think he could be more dynamic there long term and probably play a little bit longer, because eventually he's going to have to move into guard. You might as well make that decision right now. And Franklin's played a lot of tackle. To me, that seems to be the obvious choice for me.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to have a bigger guy there if you're going to help Watt out at center, too, and a massive guy that Fluker is. So, it's coming together, and they said, I hear what they're saying. I mean, they signed a cornerback and a left tackle. They're hardly two more important positions on a team, and the Chargers took care of that right off the bat.
I mean, I don't know how many holes they're going to have to fill during the draft. I mean, let's face it, they got to get a running back. They got to get a dynamite running back, an every down type running back. They've got the guys that can be the third down backs. In fact, they got two of them, Donald Brown and Danny Woodhead coming back from an injury. Brandon Oliver did a nice job, but he's not a number one guy.
No, and, you're talking running, and it's a passing league, and they've got to get a pass rusher. I mean, we've been waiting for Melvin Ingram now for some
get
time.
Get a defensive tackle so the quarterback can't step up in the pocket.
Dominican Sue, Terrence Knighton, Darren Dockett, Nick Failey, I mean, They're all coming off the board. Vince Wilfork's still out there, probably going to sign with Houston. But I was surprised at that too. You don't let that guy have that release valve there to get out of the way, and maybe you do something. But Ingram has to step up. I mean, they've been waiting too long for that. Of course, they could have had Jason Pierre-Paul if they didn't draft Ryan Matthews up as high as they did.
Yeah, Ryan Matthews, when he was on the field, he was dynamite. The problem was he wasn't on the field enough.
Yeah, when I'm driving.
He's a good football player,
though,
I think.
Yeah, he is a good football. And I've heard quite a few remarks of him being Malinger or whatever. That guy gave everything he had, and if you can't go, you can't go. And I certainly never heard the players saying that they thought he was soft or that he'd ask out or raise his hand. I mean, you want to talk about why they got to the playoffs 2 years ago. It was Ryan Matthews. He had more yards than any other rusher in the month of December when he went on that run. So, he sacrificed his body that year. But let's circle back if we can real quickly, please. That was his reputation at Fresno State. He had nicks. He had bruises. He had, he wasn't able to go all the time. So it's hard to blame him for bringing his skill set and his body of work into the NFL when it was exactly what happened at Fresno State.
But I also think in the NFL, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think you need to have two dynamite backs now, two guys that can rotate, because the pounding these guys take is unmerciful.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. You've been in enough locker rooms. You walk in there, and it looks like you walked up on a car accident. It's amazing the violence out there now and the speed and the size of these guys. One time you were big and you were slow, now you're big and fast, and the running back's going to attest to it.
Okay, last thing, Padre baseball.
Yeah, here we go.
Something to get excited about. They won today. They beat the Angels over Diablo Stadium 7-3. They out-hit them 12-10, so a good road win today. Tommy Medek, 2-for-3 day, a couple of runs scored. Yanhervis Solarte, a couple of hits today. Jake Gobert, now he's not on the 40-man roster. He had a couple of hits today. And big Alex Dickerson, the kid out of Poway, a 1-for-3 day, couple of walks. And he's a guy that may push for a spot on this roster. But it's going to be an exciting year, I think, for all of us.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait. That was dreadful last year, sitting through some of those games.
Last year?
Yeah, well, I'm being kind here. So, but what I liked yesterday, I mean, there were two anchormen wearing Padre uniforms yesterday, a Will Ferrell, of course, but Jason Shields. I mean, that was awesome what he did.
They couldn't even hit the ball out of the infield.
They
off
could.
Him.
He was throwing darts. I mean, he was just spotting that thing, and he had his game face on and said, "Boys, this is how we do it." I mean, they're loaded in that rotation, and good for Blackie that he can finally fill out a lineup card that he's not embarrassed to give the umpire.
I thought it was really cool, and you knew Tony really well.
Right.
I think it was really cool. Will Ferrell wore 19. for 9 different teams yesterday. And when he came over to the Padre complex last night, he wore number 20 when he donned a Padre uni.
Yeah, he stayed classy. What'd you expect?
That's good stuff. Hey, you have a great weekend, my friend.
That's it. I got another half hour material here.
Well, I know. You're always supposed to over-prepare.
That's my
middle name.
Thanks for having me, Boy Scout.
Hey, great having you. Jay Paris, always a pleasure to have Jay. For many years, Jay was a regular guest on my show, and he's now working here and doing a dynamic job at the Mighty 1090.